going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me, or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Fair to say that when it comes to the discussion about whether the Bills need to spend more draft capital at wide receiver, General Manager Brandon Bean has had it. That's what, to say the least, maybe came out this morning on WGR. We've been talking about it a lot today, which means we've really not been talking much at all about the players they actually picked. We'll have time for that.
Many of whom I like.
Yeah, right.
I like their first four picks. I mean, I really, really do. I think all four of those guys will contribute in some way, even if it's just as a rotational piece, in the case of maybe Walker and to an extent Jackson. The other two I would expect to play maybe a lot.
But what is the sum total of their value by virtue of the positions they play? That's really at the heart of the wide receiver thing. Here's Anthony with us. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Listen, you know, I've been listening to you guys for 20 years, and the thing I appreciate about GR is that you guys aren't just a ho-hum station that just, you know, cut and dry. And that's what I appreciate about you guys the most. So having said that, what I want to get to is I think Sean McDermott is a good coach. He's a good person. I like him. He's given us a lot of good years. I sat through 6-3 Browns games, and I never have to want to go through that again. But what I think it ultimately comes down to, and the reason why Brandon got so offended or whatever you want to call it was this morning, is that if they really could tell you what they really feel, and of course they never will, it's that they still think, to some extent, that defense wins championships, that a good low-scoring game, to some extent, is the best way they want to win. They'll never admit that, and I think we just lucked out and got a unicorn at quarterback that can cover up a lot of those flaws and can get receivers to get separation when he's running with his head cut off trying to get them to get open. And, you know, that's where I think that the core problem is their core philosophy, whatever they want to tell you. You know, I think Daboll rubbed McDermott the wrong way and wanted to have that kind of high-up tempo, and I know he went to be a head coach. I get it. But I think that was a clash there. And I think Brady is the young guy who will kind of, to some extent, do what McDermott says, and they have this kind of dink and dunk offense that still scored points. I get it. I know he scored a lot. But I just think at the end of the day, that's until that philosophy changes and they think more offensively minded, we're going to be there like the almost to the end, but not going to get there. That's just my opinion.
Thank you. I think there's a lot of truth in that. It's more 2 years ago when they were struggling before changing out Ken Dorsey, where I think that was really obvious. And then what they did by going to Brady is I think they decided basically to lean into it. If we want to play that sort of way, it sort of aligns philosophically with running the ball, extra linemen, and they were very successful at it. So I think you're probably mostly right. I don't know how much of it is Bean's way, but I think it is McDermott's, and I think it's fair enough to maybe assume that they're enough like-minded when it comes to that.
Yeah, there's something in there that to me is just making one too many assumptions about them basically the way the caller is describing it, being held at gunpoint to having a 21st century NFL offense or something. I think they pivoted when they felt they needed to pivot. And I think the league has sort of followed suit. Like, I'm not saying they set the trend, but they reacted to it very early. And I think that's to their credit. I think it's convenient. It fits in certain kind of a narrative that the caller's constructing to say, like, you know, Daboll and McDermott were oil and water. I recognize that it does not look like their interactions on fields since this has happened, or maybe it's only happened one time since he left. It don't look warm and fuzzy. But I think it just goes one step a little too, to my ear, a little too far maybe, in assuming McDermott doesn't like any of this. I mean, I think they changed when defenses were taking away and making it hard to do what they had been doing under Daboll, and they changed. And again, that's to their credit. None of it should be mistaken for meaning they don't need good receivers, though. That they shouldn't be trying to find someone who might be able to fill a role for them by, you know, at some point in the future, maybe as soon as, I don't know, when the playoffs get here, again, because that's what really is ultimately going to matter. I think there's like so many, everything is like this. You stand on one side and the overreaction, the criticism to where you're standing is an overreaction. Where were they going to get a receiver on Saturday that was going to step in and be better than Khalil Shakir? I don't know. I'm not telling you for sure they would have. What I know is that they're not going to ever get one if they don't try to get one. you might find...
Wait a minute. Slow down.
...another version of him. You might find the defense's version of Christian Benford, who's basically like a number one receiver drafted in the sixth round. I mean, he's a corner, but like, you're not availing yourself of any of that if you do not try. That's all. Like, I would not have expected if they'd picked somebody, the Utah State guy that went, did the Chiefs get him? I don't remember, right?
Jalen Royals.
If they had found their way to him at some point, I don't know. I don't think Bean, maybe he's still as hot as he was this morning. I don't know. But that's all anybody was really looking for. It's like, try to find a guy that can help you more than what you have already done this offseason. That's all. It's not, oh, you think they were going to find a replacement for Stephon Diggs on Saturday at the draft. No, I'm not a moron. I want you to try, though. Try to find someone who might play a role. I mean, they said themselves they needed more of a downfield element, speed in their passing game. Where is that coming from? Laviska Shenault?
Palmer. That's their bet. AJ is next. Hi, AJ.
How's it going, Sheldon Bulldog? Appreciate you taking my call. I just wanted to build off kind of what you were just talking about philosophically. And I want to preface this with, I think, you know, Jeremy does make a fair point. Going back to the conversation earlier, that's what this is about. Going back to Jeremy's point earlier with, you know, trying to attack receiver earlier and that need has always been there. And Bean's point was obviously clear about, you know, they were the best offense in the NFL. But in terms of this, like, philosophically, like, I look at it this way, and I really don't, like, how Bean handled it, whatever, how he came up and kind of just fired away, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not really going to matter down the line, obviously. It might resurface in conversation if the Bills offense struggles, whatever. But I just want to talk about, like, the philosophy. I'll try to make this as short-winded as possible. But if you go back to, like, the 2020, 2021, 2022, and even the 23 Bills, you have to think, you know, they were a pass-heavy offense. They were a team that threw the ball around the yard. Josh Allen's throwing 50 times a game. You have multiple receivers. You got Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs. You're signing John Browns, Cole Beasley's, Emmanuel Sanders, you know, veteran players. And that was their identity, right? And that was their identity with Daboll and Dorsey. Very pass-heavy, very pass-oriented, explosive, score quick. Joe Brady comes into the picture, and they're now a balanced attack, right? You know, taking time off the clock, trying to get, you know, get to second and six, third and three, move the sticks. Be very more, I should say, like, structured in how they run their offense and the everybody eats mentality and getting the tight ends involved and the running backs involved and Ty Johnson, James Cook in the passing game. I think the need of receiver is always important. I think it, you know, it is an important thing. But the shift from the fans, we're always a receiver. DeAndre Hopkins is available, let's go get him. Odell Beckham Jr. is available, let's go get him. It was always that wide receiver mindset. And now I look at the offense in a different light. They've retooled the offensive line to the best it's ever been. They're a more balanced attack. They use the tight ends. I know they struggled a bit last year with Kincaid and Knox, getting them truly involved in the receivers and running backs. I think it's a culmination of the offense, and I think too often we neglect the running back and tight end positions and focus so much on that receiver need.
AJ. AJ.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Who's neglecting tight end and running back? Us, the Bills? Who, fans? Who's?
I think us as fans, we don't.
The Bills have two tight. The Bills have two tight ends. Were they supposed to?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
No, I'm not saying. Yeah, no. Just my point is that I think the fans have been so have wanted receivers for so long, and now with this offense and the mentality of it and the way it's structured,
well,
that's not how.
Right. What
they don't value receiver as much, and they extended Shakir. They're signing Palmer to a 12-year deal, a $12 million deal. Over a couple of years, Curtis Samuel's brought in, and it worked last year. So I think they want to.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy, and no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
For running back, I get the need for a receiver. I would love a day three flyer. I was listening to you before. I would love the Jalen Royals.
AJ, we got to go. We got to go. Thank you. I think I got your point, which is that fans should realize their offensive philosophy has changed, which is a point I make very often. I think maybe that's understood better than maybe you do. I hope I haven't misunderstood you. Thanks for the call. Here's what I wanted to bring up when I mentioned before the break, just a question about today. I have to say, and I've had nothing to do with it, I am really taken by how fired up in a critical way the fans we've heard from today are. When I said earlier and on Twitter last week, the day after the draft for me is the day where we and the fans are the most at odds, because we're trying to, like, did they do well? Did they draft the right positions? Did they draft the right players? And, you know, a lot of fans sort of show up after the draft and are be like, well, you know, how can you grade them? How do you know? If you knew you'd be in the league, all this kind of stuff. Bean this morning, I don't know if I don't want to say protected us from that.
He took it off the table, that's for sure.
He took the he took over. And, I mean, it sounds like a lot of fans, I'm not shocked, but I'm surprised by kind of the balance. I thought we were in for back and forth between here's why he was out of line and why don't you guys show him more respect? Like, I don't know if we've had one person today like sort of accuse us of, like, I don't know, ignoring his success or just nobody's apologizing for him that is calling in. Nobody's kind of, what kind of an offseason is this going to be now? What did he do today? What did he do today? They have won like crazy. Yeah, there have been some missed draft picks, but Bean has been a very popular and successful figure with the Bills. What did he do today?
Turned the heat up. He threw himself in a pot and turned the burner all the way up.
Because
I think is what he did today.
He's not only like in the usual sort of measured fashion, well, here was our board. We liked some of these wide receivers, but we had more needs on defense and boom. It's super easy to say, and there's no controversy, and we know we have the debate we have every day about whether they should have, but it's only that. And it's kind of tired, and I'm not sure one person calls in to have that conversation today. We've had it so many times. I got to the point of exhaustion last week by it. You know, it's settled. But what are we hearing fans bring up today? Von Miller. Zay Jones.
Right, his whole history is up for examination, and he made the appointment. But, you know, he put it on the agenda by doing what he did today. Look, that's not across the board, but there's nothing unfair about that. And you know what? I don't even mind. I mean, I'm not our friends in the morning can handle themselves. Like, I'm not being protective of them. We've been in the same shoes at different times with different people, maybe not to this level that I can remember. Like, this thing has gotten all around the league, like you've said. A lot of people are paying attention to it in a way that I can't recall another example of, certainly involving us personally, but anyway, or professionally. I said this earlier, he's turned the pressure up on himself, on the organization, and on Kincaid and Coleman, maybe specifically, or the entire receiving core. Like, you better show us the real tomato ketchup here, or what? Or you have increased the pressure. Now, look, how much does that matter? Because in reality, the pressure was already immense. What's the what can they do that they haven't done? There's really only one thing. Well, to get to the Super Bowl and win it. And, you know, you can do one without the other, right? You can't win it if you don't get there. So at least get there. That would be progress. So there was already an unhealthy, I think, amount of pressure. It's barely even fair to be judged by that standard. Anything but that is failure. Tough. Somehow, a man running a football team that's in that spot, and he and McDermott both, as the GM and the coach, are in that pressure cooker, he found a way, I think, to make it even harder on himself.
Maybe. That's really only a question he can answer, I think.
Yeah,
right?
He might not care at all about any of it.
He might, right. It was just one bad day. But I don't expect fans, it'll drive us all crazy if we're in here litigating the whole 8 years, all summer. There'll be times.
Yeah.
And we won't know a thing about any of these draft picks, any of the receivers who were picked until September. We won't know a single thing. What did today tell us about kind of what kind of mood the fans are in about the Bills? Is that I'm asking, right? I'm not trying to draw a big conclusion. I'm just really surprised that it hasn't been more of a day where, like, the fans who kind of defend the Bills on everything call up and do it. Just like, what are we talking about? So we got, it's on Twitter. Twitter's to me, what I've seen today is kind of more back and forth.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people who are always sort of ready to attack the media and, you know, it's our fault. And why are we disrupting, what is it called, the apple cart? What does that mean?
Upset the apple cart.
What does that mean?
It means that someone would be hauling apples in a cart and you tip it over. Why did you do that? Why did you upset the apple cart?
Is it really just that basic? Just like you tip it over? Not just sort of like shake it for a second?
But I don't know what the criteria are for actually upsetting.
No,
but I
don't either. Yeah. I shouldn't have thought of it. Shouldn't have brought it up.
Shouldn't have thought of it. Don't be so hard on yourself.
I mean, cooler heads here, but what did he do? What did he do today? It's made for a couple of really good discussions. One, again, like sort of the merits of his point, 30 points a game. Was our offense not working? You know, everything that he kind of said, and those are easy. That's a very, it's a fine argument.
It's factual.
It's right. You know, right? It's yeah. There. But then there's also like, how about that he sort of flipped? And why would a guy who's won so much need to have been so defensive about the whole thing? I mean, that's, anybody can flip. We've all had those moments.
Sure.
You know, somebody on Twitter early today said to me about his passion and his honesty. And I said, that's fine. And nobody's going to criticize him for that. But sometimes when you get hot, you often say something you regret, or you reveal something that you would rather not do, which is why at every press conference, they don't say, you know, anything like what he said about so defensively about his offense and his decisions. It usually doesn't sound like that, obviously. So, well, I woke up today, you know, trying to figure out how much TJ Sanders is going to weigh.
I woke up. I slept a little. 8:30 is usually the latest that I will wake up, and I woke up right around 8:30. Popped, like, just touched my iPad to see what time it was, and I had messages already. Like, Bean had just started, and I had messages from people who work here. Like, oh my God! Like, all caps. Like,
really?
You're gonna want to.
I didn't get one.
You're gonna want to hear this. Yeah,
I didn't get a message from anybody who works here.
Your son's not a video content producer on the
morning show. Oh, that's, well, I think that's right.
Right.
I think that's correct.
That's how that happened. Yeah. So anyway.
Although he might be nearing that point, I did encounter a friend of his from, like, when they were little kids, you know, checking out at the grocery store on Saturday.
Mm, yeah.
Wait a minute. You work here? I thought you were six.
Right.
Turned out she was six.
And now she's
tall for her age.
Yeah, not. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. That's better. She's no longer six. Sal joined us earlier on the Maelstrom here. Everything with Bean today, but also the draft itself. We'll have that for you after this here on WGR.